All right, let's go ahead and open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. I enjoy preaching on Thursdays. And in February, it'll be Wednesdays. But I enjoy this because it's not exactly the middle of the week. Tomorrow's Friday, and we're all looking forward to that. But I like to give us hope. I like to give us vision. I like to re-energize us. And that's what midweek is supposed to be. It's a time of fellowship during the middle of the week when we've been out there, maybe isolated on our jobs, you know, getting beat up. It's Thursday. We're tired. And so I'm happy that I get to serve you guys in this way and get to recharge you some. And hopefully that's what tonight will do for you. Make you think and recharge you. So 1 Peter chapter 1. Before this, Peter is explaining how we have a living hope through the resurrection of Christ. And how one day we will be in heaven. That we will be with Jesus. And we're going to pick up here in verse 6. Talking about heaven, he says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." This is one of those passages that just makes you feel good. First Peter makes me feel good all in general. But especially this. I mean, he's talking about heaven and he's like, we have this great joy, but there are griefs and there are trials. So that these have come so that your faith may be proved genuine. That is why we have it. It is so that our faith will be proved genuine. I want my faith to be proved genuine. I believe you want the same for you. And there is nothing like suffering and going through trials that brings out the true self. I heard this one comedian, he said, never marry someone unless you've been in the car with them during traffic. Then you'll really see who they are. And that's what happens when we're going through things, when we're going through trials, our true selves really come out. There's no more smiles than, hey, I'm good, how are you? It's, man, I'm not happy right now. I don't like you. I mean, the true self comes out. And that's what happens with our faith. God puts us through these things so that our faith will be proved genuine. And I am so grateful that God, he does not just leave us to our own devices. You know, God doesn't say, well, Jesus came down, he died for them, I gave them my word. Let them have it. Let's see what they will do. Let's see if they will be faithful. Let's see if they will get it right. And then come judgment day, God would just blow us up for all the things that we've done wrong, that we thought we were right. We're like, well, God, we thought we were following you, and I thought my faith was genuine. And God's like, well, nope, you were fooled the whole time. I'm so grateful God is not like that. Amen. He gives us things that at the time we don't like, but it's for our good. Amen. It is so that our faith will be proven genuine. You know, God helps us along the way. He tests us and he refines us. He proves our faith along the way. You know, when I was younger, we went out to California. And if you've ever been in California and been on, the Muscle Beach or whatever, and, you know, there's the guys doing pull-ups and all this stuff. Yeah. So there's all these vendors along the side, right? And I think I was like 12 years old or whatever. You know, I had my money saved up from cutting grass and stuff. And I was like, I want to get a pair of sunglasses. So I went up to one of the vendors and like, they had all these Oakleys. I was like, oh, Oakleys, yes. And they're like, it's only like $20. I'm like, $20 for Oakleys? No way. And so I buy them. I get them. It has like the Oakley case. I'm like, yeah, you know, I put them on. Really awesome. Then I put on some sunscreen. And then like the next day, the Oakley is like gone. You know, the word Oakley is gone. they started like chipping. You know, it only took like a couple days for me to realize that they were fake. They weren't genuine. They weren't the real thing. You know, genuine is defined truly what something is said to be. Genuine is truly what something is said to be. It is authentic. Is our faith genuine? Is it authentic? Is it truly what we say it is? Genuine faith is greater worth than gold. That's what it says right here. He says, our faith is greater worth than gold. Are you more concerned about your faith or your finances? Because if you're more concerned about your finances, then that means you find more value in your money than in your faith. But if not, then you value your faith. You know, as a quick way to see what you value is what takes up your thinking in your free time. You know, what do we do with our free time? That shows us what we value. The things that we value, we protect. Right? We protect what we value. There's reasons why we have bank accounts and safes and stuff like that. And also the relationships that we have. We protect those. Right? Saturday is my day with my family. I protect that. I make sure it happens. Do you protect your faith? Or is it something that is holding on by a thread? And you know, when you're feeling really down, that's when you're like, all right, I really need to read. Now I really need to pray. Now I really need to go to God. Because I think I'm about to walk away. Are you protecting it? Is this something that you invest in? Evaluate yourself. Because our faith will pay off. Our faith will pay off. I promise you that. In verse 9 it says, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The salvation of our souls. There is nothing on this earth that is worth more than our souls. And the way that we're going to get through this is verse 8. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. You know, even though we do not see him, we love him and we know that he is real. That is what faith is. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That is the definition of faith. This is why people do not understand why we do what we do. Because you don't see God. He's not standing here. You don't see him. We don't see Jesus. None of us have ever seen Jesus. Yet we give our lives to him. We give our time. We give our money. We give our efforts. We give everything. That's why we're going to hear people say, you don't need to do all of that. That's too much. Or you're a little too serious. You're taking this a little too serious. You know, I know you're supposed to follow God and obey him, but I think you're taking this too literal and too serious. Or we may even hear, that is a cult that you are a part of. You need to get out. It is just too much. But is it? Is it not the only appropriate response to God who gave us everything? Who gave up everything to have us? Is it not the only appropriate response to therefore give everything that we have? God does not call us to anything that he hasn't done himself. And the truth is, he's done far more than he calls us to do. That's the truth. But sometimes we can feel like we're the one who has to do everything. We have to protect our faith. He is talking about our faith being refined. This is never an easy process or one that we like. I don't know people who delight in suffering or being refined by the fire. You know, having our character exposed is rough. It is not fun. Going through difficult situations stretch us, and that hurts. We can feel forgotten when we're going through these times. We can feel abandoned. We can feel out like we've been left out to dry. We can feel hurt, frustrated, loaded down by sin, depressed, confused, and a whole array of emotions, right? So what do you do when you feel these things? That is the question. Because we all feel these things. Whenever trials and griefs come our way, we feel these things. And that's natural and that's okay, but it's what we do with those feelings. You notice the Bible says, do not be angry. It says, do not sin in your anger. Being angry is an emotion. It's what you do with that emotion. And so what do we do when we feel all these things? What is your tendency when you're going through trials? What is your tendency? I know for me, I lose eternal perspective. That is my tendency. Before I'm like, God, you are awesome. I can go through anything. You are there. You are all I need. And then something happens. I'm like, what's going on? I can't see past tomorrow. Why is this happening? What's going on? Why me? God, I'm not worthy of this. I lose eternal perspective. And I have to be brought back through reading and prayer. I have to go, okay, God, you got me. This is for my good. Help me get through this. Why is this going on? What do I need to learn? I often get frustrated and easily angered. I can snap pretty quickly when I'm going through stuff. And at times my faith wanes. And I have doubts. I have questions. But what is your tendency? And how will it change? Because if your tendency is to, like mine, you know, lose eternal perspective or turn to sin or get frustrated and angry, that stuff needs to change. So how will it change? It's right here. It takes love and faith in God. That's it. Love and faith in God. There's no special formula or rhyme. I wish there was. But there isn't. Because he is the only one who can get us through this life and into his presence. We cannot do it on our own. And that's the title of my lesson tonight, By His Power. By His Power. What do we do when we're faced with hard times, with difficulty, with adversity? Do we bear down and we're like, I'm going to get through this no matter what? And we clench our fists and like, we white knuckle it and we try to do it on our own power. And we're just like, God, I will do it no matter what happens. I'm going to get through this. Or we rely on God and we go to him. You know, it's very easy for us to do the first, right? Yeah. Clench our teeth and make fists and like, this will change. I will change it right now. And we know the result of that. If it happens, it's temporary. It's temporary. Do we have the faith to let God do the work? Because it is by his power. Go to Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at an example of this. Mark chapter 10. Starting at verse 17, now this is a story that most of us know. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 17. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to inherit the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. You know, we got this man coming up to Jesus. This is an impressive man right here. He is humble. He runs up to Jesus and falls on his knees and asks him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I would say this is a humble person. You know, he's also impressive. He has wealth. He has many things going for him. He's naturally gifted. We can see he's very self-controlled and disciplined. Because Jesus said, you know, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Don't lie. And this guy's like, I've done that since a child. Do not defraud, honor your father and mother. I mean, this is an impressive guy. I think if he was standing here, many of us would look up to him. And be like, I hope one day I could be like you. From a child, you didn't even lie and you honored your parents. But God was calling him to something that he could not do by his own strength. And guess what? God is going to do the same for you and I. And he will continue to do that. Call us to things that are beyond our strength. We can't do them on our own. What are your natural skills and abilities? We all have natural talents, right? We all have things that either our parents instilled in us or we were just born with them. What are those? You know, are you like this man here who for all intents and purposes was a spiritual man? But when his faith was tested, it did not prove genuine because he did not rely on God. Rather, he relied on himself and his natural abilities. That's what he did. What are you weak at? What are those traits that just keep showing up? Maybe it's your lack of discipline. What in your character needs to change? Do you have the power to change it? And the answer is no. If we could change it on our own, we would have. Right. I know I would have. I've been trying for years. And it won't work. God is the one who does it. But do you believe that? Do you believe that? You know, things that we cannot do by our own power. I made a list. You can make your own list. Convert someone. We cannot do that by our own power. Now, they can have more knowledge of the scriptures. But as far as converting someone to make Jesus Lord, we can't do that on our own. Overcome sin? We cannot do that on our own. Renew our minds? Change our hearts? Secure the future? Have our children love God? Overcome health issues? We can't do this stuff. It's beyond our power. It's beyond our strength. So practically, what can we do to have his power change us and do the work? So I got three practicals for us, okay? I like getting practical. Practical number one, give up. Give up. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to see a great example of a man who gave up. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. It says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these great surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. From chapter 10 up to this point, Paul is defending his ministry. Paul is just laying it out. He's talking about the work that has been done. Paul shares about how God gave him a thorn in his flesh because of all the incredible things that have happened through Paul. I mean, chapter 11, when you list the things that he suffered for, like being stoned and flogged and all this stuff, you're just like, whoa, clearly I'm not even close to your level. But Paul comes back to this point where he says, God gave me a thorn in my flesh. I want you to notice what Paul did here. You know, Paul did not go to God and say, well, God, why? Why would you do this to me? Look, don't you see this list of all the things I already went through? Let me count up the churches that I planted. Can I even count how many disciples I have made? Look at all that I have left. Look at all the things that I sacrificed. Look at all the places that I've gone. Look at the men that now hate me. Look at my family members that despise me. God, all these things I did, and now you're going to give me this. Paul doesn't do that. He went to God, and he pleaded with him to take it away. That's all he did. He gave up. He said, God, this is beyond my strength. This is beyond my ability. You have to do it. And God said, no. And he was okay with that. In fact, he says, I rejoice in it. He's like, because he said my grace is sufficient, I now delight in these things. Delight. That is convicting. That is challenging. Now, Paul could have said all those things, right? Look at all the churches I planted and the disciples I made. He could have said that, but he would have been wrong. He would have been dead wrong. It was not him who was doing it. And Paul knew this. That's why he didn't claim any of it. He knew this. He knew that it was God who was doing it all. Paul was just an instrument, and he knew that. But what about us? What about you? Do you know this? Do you see it? Do you realize it, that you are just an instrument, and that God is gracious enough to allow us to have a little part in it? Just a little part. The fact that we can even pray to him. We shouldn't even be able to do that. We are a fallen, sinful people. But what about us? What about me? Who or what do we go to when we have a thorn in our flesh? Do we go to God and be like, God, you know what? This is beyond me. Please take this away. I would hope so, but that's probably not the case. Right? If we're going to be honest with ourselves, that's not the case, right? We may turn to sin. That's what many of us do, right? We turn back to what we know and what we're comfortable with. And that's sin. It may be a sport. It may be our job where, okay, this stuff is going on and this is crazy. Let me just pour myself into my work so I don't have to think about anything else. I get gratification out of this. Is it a relationship? Is it entertainment? Is it yourself? You know, I don't know what it is for you, but it's for me, it's very difficult to submit. It's difficult. I was raised to never quit and to never submit. And for me to go, all right, now I need to give up everything. I need to give up my control. To even think that white knuckling it and forcing it is wrong, that's hard. This is America. You pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You make it happen. You do the work. If you want to be rich and famous, you can do it. Just put in the time and the effort. There's even preachers who preach that. And it's wrong. And it's very hard for us to do this, to submit and to give up and to quit and give it to God. Because then it's out of our control. And it takes faith. And faith is uncomfortable when it comes to things that are important to us. Like friends and family and our health and our future. Those are things that we cherish and that we want to know are safe. And when we let go, man, that means it can be open to whatever. And that's scary. You know, I fight back and I want to take control. But it's only to my detriment. So do you surrender? Do you surrender? Do you give up? You know, Paul learned this very early. In his conversion in Acts 26, you can write this reference down, Acts 26, verse 14, he's recalling his story. And Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." It's hard. It hurts. Paul learned from the very beginning. Jesus taught him, you cannot fight me. It's only going to hurt you more. That's what we do. When we fight and try to take control, we're only hurting ourselves. Jesus taught Paul to submit and to let it go. Have we learned to submit? It's time to give it up and to let God handle it. Point number one, give it up. Point number two, obey. Go to Galatians chapter 5. So these things that we cannot are not within our power. We need to give it up. And number two, we need to obey. Galatians chapter 5. Is this making sense? Okay. Galatians chapter 5. Now this is the notorious like blow up passage. You know, I'm about to rebuke everybody. Here comes the sin list. But, you know, it is that, but not really. Galatians chapter 5 is actually an incredible chapter. All right, Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. He says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual morality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Did you guys just hear what that said? If you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. There's the secret. That's the secret. Live by the Spirit. If you're tired of that sin dogging you, if you want to overcome that sin, obey. Obey. Walk with God. Obey Him. You know, I'm sure you guys have heard sometimes we just need to get out of the way of the Spirit and let Him do His work. The way to do that is to obey. Because if we're not obeying, then we're stopping him. Like, nope, don't want to do it. Nope, not going there. Nope, not saying it. Nope, not changing it. If you want to get out of the way of the Spirit, you need to obey. You need to walk with him. He's like, come on, let's go. And the Spirit is moving. Just look at what we are accustomed to. We're accustomed to sex, impurity, selfishness, pride, idolatry, drugs, and alcohol. All of those things are in opposition to the Spirit. But when we walk and obey, comes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we obey, these things come about by the Spirit. Now, you can't, once again, you can't white knuckle this stuff, right? Like, I will be patient right now. No more than you can go up to an orange tree and squeeze a branch and an orange pops out. Right? Like, if you saw a guy hugging an apple tree and you're just like, what are you doing? He's like, I need apples, man. You'd be like, bro, you're a little crazy right now. Yet we can do this spiritually all the time, right? We can do this all the time. Like, it's going to happen right now. But we're totally relying on ourselves and we're ignoring God. Like, God, no, not right now. I got to focus on this. Hold one second. I got to make this happen. And he's like, what are you talking about, man? I'm right here. Just follow me. Do what I say. You can't make it happen on your own. We cannot force these things. Keep in step with the Spirit. It is time to get out of the way and obey. Point number one was give it up. Point number two is obey. Point number three, go to God. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Life is hard. Trials come our way so that our faith we prove genuine. And we cannot do this stuff on our own. We do not have the strength. And God will continue to call us to things that we cannot do on our own. So we have to give it up, we have to obey, and we have to go to him. Now, there's no particular order in this. Just do them all at the same time. All right? Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Those are some good words right there. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God has an open invitation for us. He is calling us. He says, come to me. Come to me. You know, God wants us. He knows that life is difficult. He knows it. He sends trials our way. He knows it. And he's saying, come to me. I have a lighter and easier solution for you. It's lighter and it's easier. Just come to me. Come. Give it all to Jesus, and Jesus will give us what he has. I want what Jesus has, because he says it is light and easy. I like light and easy things, right? Don't we all? That's why school is difficult, because it's not light and easy, right? Who is burdened in this room? Go ahead and show a hand. All right. Who's weary? Who's both, you know? But, because life, guys, life is not, whether you're with God or without God it's unbearable, but with God it's still difficult. It's not easy. And we're the fish swimming upstream. You know, when I think about how to raise my son and how to give to my marriage while giving to the ministry and to my friends, it's not easy. It hasn't been easy. I'm like, man, I'm tired. My head hurts. I'm exhausted. I'm thinking too much. I don't like this whole thinking thing. Can't I just go back to when I was single and like throwing a frisbee and didn't have to worry about anything? But we all have to grow up, right? And from what I hear, it doesn't get easier, right? He's not even talking or walking, so it's like really easy right now. But, you know, we have all these things, right, that are on our hearts and minds, and they can weigh us down. They can hold us back. So what I've been doing, I've been praying. I've been praying a lot. I'm like, God, help me. Give me the wisdom. Show me how to do this. How do you want me to raise my son? How do you want me to do this? How can it be done? You know, I've been reading. I'm like, okay, Jesus, let me see how the Father raised you. What did he tell you? What did he teach you? How did he do it? Jesus said, the Father told me what to say and how to say it. I mean, he trained him. He was hands-on. And God said, this is my son whom I love and I'm proud of. Listen to him. God believed in his son. So I'm like, all right, this are two things I can do. But I've been reading a lot. I've been getting advice and getting help. Because I'm like, I know this is way beyond me. And I'm not just talking about raising a kid or just my marriage. I'm just talking about life in general. I want to be a great disciple. I want to be a great husband. So I've been praying, God, please help me. Show me what to do and how to do it. Give me wisdom. Do all these things excellently and the way you want them done. That has been my prayer. God knows that we cannot do this on our own. He knows that. We don't. He does, but we don't. We are independent people, most of us, right? I know I'm talking a large room, but most of us are independent people who, man, I can do this. I got this. And time and time again, we find out we can't. Yeah, I'm calling us to change. You know, we've been doing this for a while, right? Like saying, hey, man, I'm going to do this. It's going to happen now. And it doesn't happen. And we're like, it's going to happen now. And we get louder and crazier and more about it. And man, I must not have enough zeal. It must be about me. Why am I not doing it? We're missing the whole point. God knows that we cannot do it on our own. Like I said, it's our culture to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and make things happen. But if that's the case, why do we need a God? If you can make it happen all yourself, why do you need a God? You don't. Is that how you're living? As if you don't even need a God. And you're just like, well, I can do this myself. Or you're like, I need a God. I need a God that will take control, that will take over, that will help me. You can be like the rich young man and be a good person and have a nice life. But what is the result of your life in the end? Do not be your own God. We need to rely on him and go to him. There was a father watching his son through a window. His small kid, and he was trying to lift this large rock out of the sandbox. And you know, sandboxes, they have that little lip so the sand doesn't go out. And so the guy is trying. He's trying with all his might to get this stone out of the sandbox. And so the dad goes out there and he says, what's wrong, son? Can't you lift the rock out? And the kid says, no, sir, I can't do it. He says, have you used all the strength that's available to you? And the boy said, yes, sir, I've tried everything. He says, no, you haven't. You haven't asked me to help you. Wow. You know, that's us. We're that little kid in the sandbox. Yeah. And we're like, if I just give it some more effort, if I just try something new, if I try this new trick, I guess I'm not giving it enough. And meanwhile, God's standing right there. I'm here whenever you want me. I mean, you can keep trying. You're never going to get it. But I'm right here. You know, we have great strength at the tip of our fingers. It's God. It's God. Our faith will be refined by fire. That is a fact. It is more valuable than gold, so invest in it. Protect it. Let us not be like a rich young man who relies on himself. That's what he did. God will call us and put us in situations that are beyond our abilities. So give it up, obey, and go to God. He is the one who will get us through. That's the great secret. Give it up, obey, and go to God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, for the remainder of the time, I want to have time of fellowship. So I wanted to end a little earlier so we can have some time for discussion. I mean, not like raise your hand and share, but, you know, amongst yourselves. So I'm going to pray, and then we can fellowship and hang out. Amen? Father, you are a mighty, mighty God. You are the creator of the universe, of everything that we see and we do not see. Father, you created our bodies. You created our imaginations. Father, we love you. We are floored that you care for us, that you give to us, that you have reached down to us, that you called us out of the darkness and into your marvelous light. Father, help us as we are stubborn and independent people. Help us to rely on you. Help us to give it all up. Help us to surrender to you, to obey you, and to walk in step with you, to come to you. Father, because this life is beyond our abilities. It is beyond our strength. Father, we need you. We pray that you help us and that you help us to get close to you so that we can rely on you always. So in your son's name we pray. Amen.